for the next 2.5 hours, more or less. Don't laugh, it might be. Amen. Romans chapter 7, and we want to start reading at verse 12 this morning. We mostly want to take our text out of verse 13. We're going to read down several verses. We'll come back to verse 13 today. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is made good death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it may appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not, and for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's go back and look and read one more time, verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Amen. I want to probably talk to you this morning from my heart, a subject that is very seldom even dealt with in our society anymore. Maybe we'll title this, Whatever Happened to Sin? Whatever Happened to Sin? Some years ago, I bought a book and read it. It's a powerful book, Whatever Happened to Hell? You hardly ever hear anybody preach about hell anymore. Powerful book. But I'd like for us to look at this verse 13 in particular, and we'll probably touch on some other of these verses a little later this morning, but I'd like for us to look at this in the light of the scripture, Whatever Happened to Sin? We have a generation on our hands that feels like that sin is accepted in our society. Hello. Amen. Paul, in this seventh chapter, if you're not familiar with Paul's writings, you go back and read chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8. They deal extensively with the subject of sin, especially in chapter 5 and 6. And then in 7, he talks about the confrontation that goes on inside of a man's heart before he's converted. He pretty well clarifies that in the first verse of chapter 8. Amen. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. In chapter 8, he's talking about the saved man, the regenerated man, the sanctified man. In chapter 7, he's talking about his life before he was converted, and we want to look at that a little bit this morning from the perspective of the church world's mind thought in these days. It's hard to find any sinners anymore. Hello. Anybody that will admit there's a sinner? Some time ago, I met a man in town, shook hands with him. I knew him, invited him to church, and he said, you don't want me to come to church. I'm a sinner. I said, man, I have been looking for you for 10 years. There's just so few anymore that will acknowledge that they are a sinner, and yet they sin every day. Amen. How many sins does it take to make a person a sinner? One? Six? 10? 25? 400? Amen. Come on here. Amen. It only takes one sin, unrepented of, to make you a sinner. Amen. Paul, in this chapter, is talking about the battle that's going on inside of him before he's saved. He knows that the law of God tells him he's a sinner. He addresses this subject matter. Amen. God's law, the Mount Sinai, written on tables of stone. Amen. If it wasn't for the law, we wouldn't even know we was committing a sin. If there was no stop sign down here at the end of 729 where you meet 211 there, if there was no stop sign there, you would have no concept of the fact if you went across there without stopping, amen, you wouldn't know. If there had never been a stop sign there, you wouldn't know that you were breaking the law if there was no stop sign and never had been a stop sign. So that stop sign tells you if you don't stop, you're breaking the law. Hello. You don't stop, you're in liability to face the judge and pay a fine. Amen. And depends upon how many of those violations you've got, you may even lose your license. How come? Because it's against the law to run a stop sign. That law tells you that you are a transgressor of the law. That stop sign tells you you are a transgressor of the law. So the law on Mount Sinai was good. He addresses that in verse 12. It's holy. It's just. Amen. The commandment is holy. And it's good. There's nothing wrong with the law. What's the problem then? The problem is not the law. The problem is the sin that is within man's heart. Amen. It was not the law that killed me, he said, but sin that would not let me obey the law. And this made sin appear what it really is. Sin is a deceiver. Sin is a deadly enemy. Sin is a killer. Come on, I want to talk to you this morning. Amen. Whatever happened to sin? Amen. Sin is still sin. No matter how much of it is accepted by society, it's still sin. Sin separates, amen, you from God. Sin separates you from everything that's good, everything that's holy, everything that's right. Sin separates families. Come on, I want to preach to you today. Amen. Sin separates husband and wife. Sin separates children from parents. Sin, amen, sin separates you from the church. Sin separates you from God and everything that is right and everything that is holy. Amen. So after showing in verses 7 through 14 that sin is more powerful than the law, amen, Paul now shows that sin is more powerful than man, who is a slave to sin. He said, when I knew what I ought to do and I should do, amen, sin wouldn't let me do that. Sin had control of my life. Sin made me a slave. And when I wanted to do better and I wanted to bring my paycheck home to my family, sin wouldn't allow me to. So sin was more powerful than my own self. Amen. You are a slave to sin if you are a sinner. Amen. Help me here this morning. The man that gambles, after a while, amen, he wants to quit gambling because he sees what it's doing is bringing him to poverty. But he is so obsessed, amen, with the spirit of gambling. Amen. He is so obsessed with gambling itself that even though he knows he shouldn't gamble, amen, he can't help it. It's a power that's got control of him. Amen. And so, amen, what is the root cause of gambling? It's sin. Come on here. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, I have a will. Ah, Lord, have mercy on me here this morning. Amen. He said, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. I have a will, he said, but it is so overpowered by the lust. I want to do better, but I'm overpowered by the lust of sin. Now, there are three categories of sin. John, in his epistle, gives us the three categories: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. All sin can be traced to one of those three categories. Amen. And lust, I was talking to somebody this past week, and amen, they were standing in shock about what some people had done and the way they were living, and I said, don't ever underestimate the power of the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eye. It is a powerful tool that the enemy uses to cause men to commit sin. And when I say men, I don't just mean the gender men. I mean mankind. Amen. Men and women, boys and girls. It is a tool. Lust is more powerful than even your will. Come on here. Amen. Paul said, I wanted to do better. I really did. I knew I ought to do better. I should do better. But evil was present with me. I'm a slave to it. Amen. So I have a will, but it is so overpowered by the lust of sin that I am rendered totally helpless. Amen. My passion is stronger than my reason. My will, my reason, my understanding, my conscience are on God's side. Amen. And consent to his will and his law. But my slave master, which is the devil, Satan, amen, my slave master will not consent for me to serve God or his law because I am under this control of sin. Amen. He said in another verse, he said, whosoever you yield your members to obey, his servants you are. Amen. You yield yourself to the flesh and to sin, and you become the slave of the flesh and the sin. And that keeps you in captivity. That keeps you a slave. Somebody said, well, I want to do what's right. Amen. But you can't as long as you're in the slave house or the prison house of sin. Amen. Amen. Come on here. Is there any hope? Oh, yes. Praise God. Amen. You cannot deliver yourself from the power of sin. You cannot set yourself free from the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eye or the pride of life. Amen. You are helpless in that respect because sin is more powerful than your desire. Amen. Do what's right. Amen. So what is the answer, preacher? Jesus Christ. Praise God. He can break the power of sin. Matter of fact, he's the only one that can. Turning over a new leaf, a lot of people in the few more days when this month is over and the new year comes in, amen, they make New Year's resolutions and turn over a new leaf and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to be better, amen. And 30 days later, they're back in the same mud hole and the same muck and mire and the same hog pen, amen, before they ever made the New Year's resolution. What is the problem? Because they're still a slave, and you cannot by your own willpower get out of the hog pen. It will take the grace of God. Amen. It'll take the power of God to break the chains and sin and iniquity. Somebody say amen here. Hallelujah. Well, I'm feeling better here this morning. Hallelujah. Now, E.M. Blakelock, if I remember right, I think that's the man who wrote this little poem. And I've got it wrote down somewhere, and I couldn't find it. And I really wanted to find it. I've been thinking about this little poem all week, and I couldn't get it exactly. I couldn't remember it exactly as E.M. Blakelock said it. Amen. Until this morning, I was sitting at the table looking out the window or the doors there in the backyard, and it came to me just like that, word for word. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? I'll tell you, that takes God for me. I don't know about you. Amen. But E.M. Blakelock said, sin of such awful means to be hated needs only to be seen. But seen too oft with familiar face, first we pity, then we embrace. If that's too difficult for me, for you to get a hold of this morning, let me just put it in Savage commentary. Amen. Sin is an awful thing. I don't care who it is. Sin is an awful thing. Sin is a terrible thing. Sin is a killer. Amen. And to see sin for your first time, the first time that you see sin, I mean sin. And all sin is sin. Come on here. First time your pure eyes as a child saw sin, it shocked you. your pure eyes, innocent, young, tender. Come on here. The first time you saw raw sin, it shocked you. If you just see it as sin, that is a safeguard to every Christian. Just see sin as sin. But when it is seen so often, and you put a face on that sin, somebody you know, somebody related to you. Come on, am I talking to y'all this morning? You see a familiar face that amen, you know them, but seen too oft with familiar face. Amen. First we pity them. We really do. We feel sorry for them. They're caught in a trap. They're caught in a snare. But then, seen too oft with familiar face, we pity them. Then, after a while, we become desensitized and we embrace them with their sin. Wow. Y'all come on here this morning. I'm gonna get a little closer to you than what I have yet. You think last Sunday morning and Sunday morning before that, I got tight? Amen. Buckle up your seat belts. We're going for a high ride today. Amen. Amen. We have been so desensitized in our thinking. Amen. Because it's somebody that we know. Somebody with a familiar face. Somebody that is related to us. They're really not so bad. What they're doing is really not so bad now. We've seen it so often and we've grown accustomed to it. Amen. And matter of fact, it's an accepted thing in society. Come on here. I'm preaching to you this morning. Hallelujah. Preachers for years, when I was growing up, preachers for years, amen, preached that smoking cigarettes, use of tobacco, was a sin. Was a sin. Was a sin. Was a sin. Amen. The truth of the matter, the tobacco was not the problem. The problem was sin. The word that you have to hiss when you say it. Sin. Amen. It is a killer. It is poison. Come on here. Amen. And years went by. I remember the first time one that I ever seen a woman smoke a cigarette. First time. Amen. We was living at Papa Waddell's place out there, Hickory Grove. I remember as a child, first time I ever seen a woman smoke a cigarette. Some of y'all may remember that. But as an innocent child, I was so shocked. Matter of fact, it was the buzz of the community. Woman smoking a cigarette. Shocked everybody. No such thing had ever happened that we ever knew of. That's something they just did not do. They were a lady. Come on here. Come on here. Amen. But as years went by, more and more women, through the advertisement of Hollywood, amen, and movie stars, and rock stars and country western, amen, entertainers. Am I preaching all right? Amen. Women started to smoke in everywhere. Amen. Until nobody ever thought anything about it. So a woman smoked. Well, big deal. Seen too oft with familiar face. First, we pity. We embrace. Am I doing all right here? Amen. Amen. But I want to tell you this morning, sin is still sin. We need to see the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Read that. Amen. Got your Bible there, Silas. Verse 13 again. Read that verse again. Amen. He's talking about the law. The law was good. The law was holy. The law is what told you you had committed a sin. Without the law, you wouldn't even know you had sin. And death came as a result of, amen, disobeying the law. Amen. So was the law death to me? No. Amen. God forbid. Sin. That it might appear what it really is. It's poison. It'll kill you. Amen. Sin. That it might appear sin. Now, we are living in a generation. Just hold what you got. We're going to come back to that. We are living in a generation in the American society and the whole church world in America. Amen. Has opened our arms and embraced sinful activities within our own ranks, so much so, amen, that we hardly ever find anything wrong. Hello. Amen. It's the same spirit. It's the same spirit that came out of the Garden of Eden from the mouth of the serpent that said, God didn't mean what he said. Thou shalt not surely die. Huh? Thou shalt not surely die. I'm trying to teach y'all this morning something from the scripture. No, God didn't mean that. Amen. Everything's here for a good purpose and reason. I mean, after all, alcohol. Come on here. Alcohol is here. And if it's here, then God must have put it here so man could enjoy it. Years ago, I told you about, amen, help me here. First time I went to Louisville, Kentucky, and that's been way back yonder. I can't remember whether it's in the early 60s or late 50s. Amen. Somewhere along in those years, I remember the first time I went to Louisville, Kentucky to preach a revival meeting, the pastor said to me, he said, I want to show you something. I said, okay. Amen. So he took me, drove me downtown in Louisville, Kentucky, and I'm trying to think of the pastor's name. I might think of it after a while. That's been so many years. You know, that's been a long time ago. 61. All right. My wife's got a better memory than I have. Amen. 1961, over 40 years ago. Amen. Pastor said, I want to show you something. I said, all right. He said, get in the car, and I'll drive you downtown. Took me downtown Louisville and drove me through the downtown district and, you know, turned corners, and he knew where he was going. I had no idea where I was going. First time I've been to Louisville in my life. Amen. And he turned the corner, and then he stopped beside the street at a parking meter there. He said, now I want you to take a good look at that right there. Amen. What I saw so shocked me, I could not hardly believe it. You know, you see a display in a window. It's usually a furniture store that's got furniture on display, a dining room suit or a refrigerator or a bedroom suit or chairs or whatever. Amen. But this store had on display women. To look at them, they were just about to say there's pretty women, beautiful women. But they were on display as prostitutes. In a place of business. That was their business. Prostitution. Help me here. Somebody said, I never thought he'd come to America. Now, all you got to do is go down to Washington, D.C. Amen. Yeah, probably not anymore. Amen. Go down 14th Street. I guess it's still vile and wicked as the devil was. You can see not only prostitutes, but you can see homosexuals of every description. Amen. But nevertheless, that's the first time I'd ever seen it. And he said, look at what's hanging around that woman's neck. And I looked a little closer, and it was a necklace with a crucifix on the end of it. And he said, That is saying to the public that the Catholic Church approves this place of business. Now that seems far to the left to us. Amen. But I want to tell you, we've just about reached that place in American Pentecostal churches. When there's more hanky-panky and divorces and remarriage and divorce and remarriage and hanky-panky, amen, in the church world than it is out there in the secular world, we got a problem. Whatever happened to sin? Amen. Amen. Come on here. Whatever happened to sin? Oh, what was the man's name? I got it wrote down, and it's a French name. Came to the America in the late 1700s, early 1800s. Amen. I'm preaching to y'all out of my heart this morning. Is that all right? Amen. He wanted to come to America to find out what made America great. And he searched this whole country over from northern border to the southern border, from the west coast to the east coast. He looked at the farming industry. Amen. He looked at the iron industry. He looked at the places of commerce. He looked at everything. He looked at the political system. He went to the courthouses, the justice system. He went to the White House. He went to the Capitol building. He traced this country from end to end, back and forth. Amen. Hunting to find out what made America great. Amen. And he come. Amen. Finally, he said, I have not found what makes America great yet. Amen. And one day he went into a church, if you please, a church. Amen. In those years that preached hell, fire, and brimstone from the pulpit. Amen. Amen. And it's right to do right and it's wrong to do wrong. Amen. And he said, finally, I found what, amen, makes America great. Amen. It's because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, amen, she will cease to be great. Amen. And that's what a Frenchman said about America when he went into the pulpit, went into the churches and saw the pulpit aflame with fire. Amen. Preaching against sin. He said, I found what made America great. Amen. We have come to a crossroads in American culture. Amen. That so much stuff and so much sin and so much, amen, hanky-panky has become accepted in our society that it's okay. Amen. But I want to tell you, it's still sin. Hear me here. Now, woo! I ain't even got past my introduction. If the sense of sin dies inside of you, the awareness of sin, if that dies, amen, that is a death that will eventually destroy you. You must keep alive a sense of sin sufficient, amen, to give you a desire to know God, to be free from it. Come on here. An upward pull, a desire to do what's right and go to Calvary and the cross. Amen. More and more, help me here, more and more sinful living is becoming accepted in our society in America. Amen. But I want to tell you this morning, but sin, however, and I wrote this down because I didn't want to forget it. Amen. It's come to me this morning. But sin, however acceptable by society, is still sin. Six of you got off my bandwagon this morning. We have a society in America right now in the church world and in the Pentecostal churches that is called sipping saints. Help me here. Amen. I'm trying to think of the man's name that started Teen Challenge. What's his name? David Wilkerson, in one of his books, addressed the problem of sipping saints. I read his book. Amen. It's a problem in our society in America right now. Amen. Sipping saints has become acceptable in the church world. Does that mean it's okay? Does that mean it's all right? Does that mean it's got a green light? And we can go right on through the landscape of life? Amen. Keep on sipping. Come on here. Amen. Call them brother. Call them sister. Amen. Hooked on the bottle, but they're okay because it's accepted in the church religious world. Amen. Sipping saints is against everything that is right. Sipping saints is sinners. Amen. In a religious garb. Help me here this morning. I'm going to preach to y'all today. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. I told you it's going to get a little tighter than what I've been getting. Amen. But sin is taking over our society to the effect that we can't preach against anything anymore without hurting somebody's feelings. Get your feelings hurt because the preacher preached against sin that you're doing or involved in, and he hurt my feelings. Come on here. Amen. Instead of praying through and getting it right, amen, we do the opposite. Amen. Help me here. We've got a revolving church door mentality. And if this preacher preaches too straight and too strict for us, we go out the door and we find us another church where we can live like we want to live and do like we want to do. And nothing's ever said and my feelings won't be hurt. Amen. Come on, I'm preaching to y'all this morning. Amen. But I want to tell you, sin is still sin. Woo! In Germany, the cradle of Protestantism, where Protestantism was first born by Martin Luther. Amen. Nailing his thesis, a 95 thesis, on the door of the church. Amen. In Wittenberg, I believe it was Germany. Amen. Amen. The just shall live by faith. And Protestantism was born. Everything that is not Catholic is Protestant. You know what Protestant means? They protest. They protest. It's taken from the root word of protest. They protested against the indulgences of the Roman Catholic Church. Come on here. Amen. And the sin that was accepted, amen, and Martin Luther, amen, preached against the indulgences of the Roman Catholic Church and the Pope of Rome. Help me here. I'm preaching to y'all today. Amen. And the Protestant church world was born. And now, right now, amen, help me. Oh, God, help me. 200 and some years later, amen, we're right back the same place we were, amen, before Protestantism was ever cradled. Amen. In the American church, in the Protestant churches, the denominational churches, the Pentecostal churches, amen, even now, amen, has accepted sin right into our, not only our pews, but our pulpits. Amen. And it's no longer an unacceptable part of society. Somebody said, well, he just had a drinking problem. No, he's got a sin problem. Somebody said it just got, amen, they just got a lust problem. No, they got a sin problem. Somebody said, ha ha, amen, they got a tobacco problem. No, it's a sin problem. Somebody said he's just got a little cussing problem. No, it's a sin problem.
Amen. Whatever happened to sin in our American church, God help us to set a flame and fire burning one more time to see sin as exceedingly sinful. The serpent said, but to see sin is exceedingly sinful. And read the whole thing. Exceeding sinful. Help me here. In Germany today, every church member and every preacher in the church, in the Protestant movement, drinks liquor. They don't think they even had a meal. A meal to them now is not even complete without wine, alcohol wine, or a mug of beer. Now that's horrible when you think of it. And I think of it. It's in Germany. But I want to tell you, it's going on right here in the American church. Right now. In America, we can no longer point our finger at Europe and the gross sins that's going on in the church world over there and say how horrible it is, because we've got the same sin in the American church and nothing is said about it, because somebody's I've been preaching 50 years. I pastored most all those years, and you know that. And through the years, not only here, other churches as well where I pastored, I've lost some good tithe payers because I preached against sin. And it probably won't be the last one. Amen. Probably not. But I want to tell you, we've got a judgment to meet after a while. I could tell you the man's name, what the entire situation was, but I'm not. I pastored in a church in Texas many, many years ago now. He was a board member of that church. When I went there, he was a board member. And he stayed on the board for a few years after I was there. And there came a time that he and I butted heads. And I got a hard head when it needs to be. Sister Mayor said, amen. Hallelujah. Really? But I want to tell you, amen, I got the victory over money a long time ago, because I found out that my support doesn't come from you. My support comes from God. And you can cut me off at any time you want to, but God's going to take care of me, and you be the loser. In those years, 1960s, those are difficult years for us financially. I mean, real difficult. Amen. This gentleman paid $100 a week tithe then. Then. Help me here. I'm losing some of y'all. I mean, then. Now, you can imagine what that would amount to now with inflation. Amen. He talked to me one time, and he said, now, I've got a, help me here, I've got a daughter, and I've got a son, and they're probably involved in some things that you don't approve of, but I'd just like to see you not preach so hard against them. Because I'd like to keep them in the church. I would too. I really would. I'd like to see them get prayed too. But I said, now, dear brother, I was a young man then. I really was. I probably didn't. Amen. When Daddy got through preaching, you didn't have to guess at what he said. That's just the way it was. But I just said to him, plain out straight, I said, now, wait a minute. If you think, and I'm going to pull them, amen, because it's your children, and take down because it's your children, I mean, you're going to have trouble right here. Because I ain't taken down. Well, needless to say, for several weeks, he quit paying tithes and eventually just left church. Went to a more liberal church. Well, I want to tell you something. I've got to face God. I'm going to face God the way I preach to you. I'm going to answer to God for the way I lead this church. And I don't want your blood dripping from my fingers when I stand before God. Hallelujah. You're going to stand before God for your own conduct and behavior and how you act. Come on here. Amen. You're going to have to answer to God. I don't have to answer for you unless I compromise and don't tell you the truth. Then I will have to give account. Amen. Amen. But you will have to answer to God for your own lifestyle and the way you live and what you do. Amen. And every soul shall give account unto God. Come on here. But I want to tell you, amen, I am responsible. And to me, it's an awesome responsibility when I look over this congregation every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Tuesday night, amen, that I preach to you, amen, and realize that, amen, your destiny, your eternal destiny, amen, may depend upon whether I preach to you the truth or I just kind of smooth it over. I don't care how much it's accepted, how much sin is accepted, how much lifestyle is accepted. Did you know right now in Washington, D.C. and the surrounding area, there are churches that are called gay churches? Washington, D.C. area, metropolitan area, gay churches. Where you can be a homosexual and they will call you brother or sister. Help me here. And the day will come, it will probably be a criminal offense to say anything publicly in opposition to it. Matter of fact, if I remember right, I think it's in the state of Massachusetts today, where it is against the law in a public forum to say anything against the gay and lesbian society. But I want to tell you, it's a blight and it's a sin and it's a curse on our society. I don't care if every state in the United States passes laws that it's accepted. Come on here. It's still a sin. I don't care if every state and every, amen, hamlet in the country passes laws that it's acceptable in the church world religiously, amen, for you to drink alcohol and still be a member of the church. It's still a sin. I don't care how many churches you go to. Come on here. Amen. It's adultery and fornication is still a sin. Somebody say amen. Amen. I don't care. Amen. If you're not married, you're going to have to answer to God for the way you live. It's a sin. And we have a generation on our hands now, amen, that I've had them tell me when I pray. I pray every day. Amen. I call upon the name of the Lord every day. Amen. And there's still no change in their life, in their conduct, in their speech, in their language, in their behavior. Amen. I want to tell you, God help us to come to the realization if we're going to have a revival, amen, it's got to start in the church. It's got to, amen, come on here. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It is the only prescription for revival. Amen. And as long as we pat sin on the back and say you're doing good and you're doing pretty well, just keep on coming. Amen. Come on here. Sin will destroy you. Sin will send you to hell. Come on here. Somebody say amen. And I don't very often do this, and I really don't. And I'm going to do something that I don't like to do, but I want to prove to you a point this morning. I want to help me. I'm in trouble. I know I am. I'm on dangerous water, and I'm treading water right now. I'm just trying to stay afloat. Praise God. Amen. Help me here. We have a generation that has such a twisted mindset. Their value system is all haywire. And they have no idea what is right and what is wrong. Amen. Amen. They can't tell the difference between black and white. Hey. Somebody say amen here. Amen. A dear friend of mine that I have preached meetings with, been with in meetings, amen, and traveled with, amen, has gone haywire. Gone plumb berserk. Pastored a church in the southern part of the United States of America. A preacher, if you will. Amen. Left his wonderful family, a good boy, and a precious, darling young lady. Help me here. Teenagers and a good wife, a pretty wife, and run off with use the vernacular, run off with an old hussy out of the church. And to some people, he can just keep living like he's living. Amen. Never repent. Never fix it. Never go back to his wife. Help me here. A preacher, a pastor of a good church, a wonderful church at one time. Amen. They've had a lot of problems since then. But it was a wonderful church, and I preached their convention, amen, several years ago. Hey, oh God, help me. I'm trying to get us to realize that there are some things that we've got to stand against. And sin is killing us. Sin is immobilizing us. Sin has become acceptable in our church world. Amen. And you cannot be saved and be in sin at the same time. There's got to be a coming out.
There's got to be a quitting. Amen. I don't care how much you pray. If there's no change in your life, let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen. Come on here. If there's no change in the life, I don't care if you get up in the morning and repeat, amen, the Lord's Prayer and repeat it 16 times a day. Amen. And repeat it when you go to bed. Amen. I don't care. Amen. Sin is still sin, and it will destroy you. I don't know how many people in the last year, not just one or two, I mean lots of people in the last year that I've talked to about things in their life that is sinful and wicked, and they say, I pray every day. I pray. As though that covers and takes care of their misdeeds. Whatever happened to sin? Man, man, man. I haven't even got past my first point here. I might finish it up tonight. I'm feeling pretty strong about it right now. Amen. Amen. We are following the pattern of the Europeans in our economy. Are y'all still with me this morning? In our social life. And we're making exceptions for licentious living, wicked, sinful things, because the Swedish are doing it. Europe is doing it. It's accepted. There needs to be, first of all, a great fear of sin. Sin of such awful means to be hated needs only to be seen, but seen too oft with familiar face. First we pity, then embrace. It's okay. Where is our fear of committing a sin? I have never seen such a time. I'm a priest. Whew, I ain't through this morning yet. I ain't nowhere near through. I have never seen a generation in my life that will lie like they lie now with a straight face, knowing they're lying. Amen. Come on here. Knowing they're lying. Amen. Lie to the preacher. Lie in the church. Lie out of the church. The lyingest bunch that has ever been in existence. Amen. Come on here. And feel like it's accepted. And the truth of the tragedy of the matter is, amen, the rest of the church world, amen, because of who it is, amen. And we like them, and they got such a sweet personality, and they are y'all still with me here? Amen. We make exception. We pity them that they're caught in the snare. Amen. And we say it's okay. All liars shall have their part in the lake of fire that burneth with brimstone. All! Our fear of sin as being so awful and so terrible is no longer there. We have seen it so often. We've heard it so often. We've witnessed it so often. We are desensitized to it. Come on. Come on here. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. I'd love to be able to see our precious young people spared some heartbreaks, amen, some tragedies in life, amen, that some of their parents have been through. Come on. Are y'all still with me? Amen. I want to tell you, this boy right here, God have mercy on his soul. I prayed morning for him than he'll ever know, probably, when he was a child. Amen. The product of a broken home. Amen. Come on. Y'all stay with me here this morning. amen, the tragedy of that broken home. And I've seen him sit in the classroom in this school right here when he was in class. And he was not one, amen, that would just tell everything and blab everything when trouble comes. He always kept his feelings to himself. And I've seen him in the classroom many times that I'd walk by him and he'd be looking straight ahead and tears running down his cheeks. Never said nothing to nobody. But inside, he was torn to pieces. God, help me this morning. I'm afraid our church has lost the fear of what sin does to us. If I can spare one of these precious young people, just one of them, if I can spare them from the tragedy and the heartbreak that some of the older folks have encountered. Amen. Come on here. I will feel like I have accomplished something in 29 years if I could just help one. Amen. Escape the tragedy and the torture and the mental anguish of their soul. Help me here. Amen. I want to tell you, precious young people, I love you and I'll help you. And you got a friend in me. You may think you don't. Amen. But I'll help you and nobody else will. But I want to tell you, you need to set up a guard against the lust of the flesh. And I don't care. I love that boy. And I love his darling wife. She's just like a daughter to us. And amen. I want to tell you. Amen. Oh, God, help me this morning. If Ricky's in sin, it's still sin. Help me here. It may break my heart to pieces. Amen. To where I can't hardly stand it or sleep at night, but it's still sin. Listen to me, young people. Listen to me. Be careful. Because the roaring lion seeking to devour you. He don't care how good a baba you got. He don't care how good a daddy you got. He don't care how good grandparents you got. He's after your eternal soul. Set up a double watch against the lust of the flesh. Because it's overpowering. And even when you know you shouldn't, and you know you ought not to. Amen. That power of the flesh makes you a slave to it. Man. There was an empress some years ago into that golden mouth preacher, best I remember, I think is John Knox. She sent to him a threatening message. He didn't quit preaching certain things about the sins of the kingdom that he'd be in trouble with the authorities. His answer was this: go tell her, the ruling monarch, empress, go tell her, I fear nothing but sin. Help me here. Nothing but sin. That is a supreme thing to be afraid of. God should give us a law and we refuse to obey it. And God manifest his love, and we refuse to respond to it. There's nothing quite so truly dreadful as no fear of sin. And I'm going to close there. I may finish it tonight if the Lord will let me. I don't know what tonight will hold. But when you lose your consciousness and your sense of the dread of sin and what it will do to you and to your family and to your church and to your God, you are destined for eternity lost without God. Holy Ghost, I pray, sweet Holy Spirit, I pray this morning that somehow or some way or another your Spirit will touch some hearts in this service. Ask your Holy Ghost to touch the heart of mamas and daddies and help them to be aware, acutely aware, of the tragedy and the calamity that comes because of sin, and to guard their families against it, and to teach their children the wages of sin is death. Oh God, I pray, Lord, that you help us not to water down, as parents, not to water down or compromise or lessen the fear of sin, that it is exceedingly sinful to you. God, breathe upon our hearts. If there be one precious soul here, man or woman, boy or girl, that stands at the crossroads and they're about to make a decision and the flesh is pulling at them so strong, I pray, Lord, the Holy Ghost will somehow build a hedge around them and give them the grace and the strength that they need to surrender their whole heart, soul, mind, and body to Christ. For Jesus' sake, I pray this morning. Marcia, can I? While every head is bowed, I preach my heart to you this morning. I wonder if there's one precious soul in this place today. Slip your hand up. Say, Brother Savage. I need to pray more. I'm one of them. I'm one of them that's been desensitized. Things don't look so bad anymore because it's becoming more acceptable by our society. But I'd like to get back to the place where I see sin as exceedingly sinful. For Jesus' sake. Is there one here? Slip your hand up right there where you are. God bless you, son. Is there one more? God bless you, sir. Is there one more? I feel the Holy Ghost in this service this morning. Is there one more than to slip your hand up this morning, Brother Savage? I feel like I'm one of them. God bless. I need to see sin for what it really is. God bless you. Is there another here today? Oh God, help us. Oh God, help us. Oh God, help us. Everybody stand. Let's everybody come pray, and you that raise your hand, amen, ask God. Reaffirm in your heart and your life the destructiveness of sin. How awful it really is. Oh God.
Gazing on the canvas of ruin, the colors all tainted by sin, with a paintbrush of mercy the artist begins a masterpiece painted with the blood of the Lamb. Start over again. There's a new day. You begin. Start over again. There's a new day just began. Closing the door on the past. There's a window in the room. Let the sunlight dispel the gloom. It's not too late to start over again. Gazing on the ashes of failure, construction of ambition destroyed. With the hammer of mercy, the builder begins with the nail print.